You can help the homeless in Philadelphia while furnishing your home. The proceeds from the Beehive Thrift Store on Rising Sun Avenue in Northeast Philly or Sunday Breakfast Thrift Store in Pendel, Bucks County, provides meals, shelter, and hope to homeless men, women, or children in the Philadelphia area. It only costs $1.95 to feed one person. This means that buying a sofa, a dining room set, household items, or clothing will help feed and house the homeless in the Philadelphia area. Please help Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission feed the homeless by shopping or donating gently used items today. To make your gift or learn about our locations, visit sundaybreakfast.org or text the word thanks to 41444. That's THANKS to 41444. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission. Provide a meal. Give hope. Change a life.
Your furry family members matter, too.
Hi, we're Gordon and Sue Kriebel, owners of Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a family-owned business located on Main Street in the Trap Shopping Center. It's a family experience at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, one you won't get at chain and grocery stores. You'll find a distinct difference at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a difference in quality and in our natural approach to your pet's care. You may not be aware of better options for your pets, so come in and discuss your pet's nutritional needs and health. Our knowledgeable hands-on staff will be happy to help you learn what's best. We've been your leaders in pioneering pet nutrition and part of our community since 2003. Come out and support our local family-owned business. We'd love to meet you and your pets.
This is Kevin Michaels, who is with us. He's the co-founder of Cross Properties. They have successfully purchased $250 million of real estate, and he is married. You were married, and your honeymoon was canceled back at 9/11?
Fortunately, it was.
That's something you'll never forget. And you have two beautiful children, Milo and Millie. And although you have quite a successful business, I'd like to go back in time, and I'd like you to share with us a little bit, Kevin, about your relationship with Jesus Christ and how you became a Christian.
Sure. Love to. How would you like to begin?
I don't know. Do we begin out of the womb? Do you want? What's the most exciting part? I mean, were you always a Christian? Did you come from a background? Were you seeking truth at one point in time?
So I grew up in a very organized religion family, if you will. We certainly attended church every Sunday. Though strangely, as soon as we got into the car, the sinning was beginning. It was a pretty, you know, oppressive upbringing with my parents that many years later I've been able to reconcile with them. But I guess I was exposed to a religious God for all of my young life. It wasn't until fast forward in 2002 when I was brought to my knees through a series of events that God came off the altar and met me, and it came very real to me. I'll give you a little bit more detail on that. In 1993, I moved out to San Francisco. I was a financial advisor for a large financial institution, and this little company called Netscape went public, and the internet was born in front of my eyes. And there were lots of zillionaires running around saying, can you help me? And of course, I rolled up my sleeves and did my best to help manage all their financial affairs and told them to sell early and sell often. And nobody wanted to listen because they thought the stock would just grow to the moon. And kind of relevant because I think it's part of the condition of man to seek more.
Yes.
And more and more. And from a worldly perspective, can be like drinking from a fire hose. So sadly, most of them lost all of their money because they didn't listen and be sober about the ups and downs of the market. But through that, I was able to benefit greatly financially, and that allowed me to have a vehicle to fuel my wild and crazy lifestyle. So that wild and crazy lifestyle started probably in eighth grade and accelerated each and every year through high school, through college, and then through my early career. I was young. I had a fair amount of success, and the world was my oyster. So whatever I wanted, I could get, and I got in plenty.
And you were looking for satisfaction in those areas.
Yeah.
Fulfillment.
Purpose. I was looking for all of that. I was looking to just simply have a good time, and I thought that was the meaning of life.
Sure.
Was to enjoy yourself, and in my world, that enjoyment just got more and more, I'll say, dark, and you know, I began to chase my tail, if you will, and unfortunately, I forget who the multi-zillionaire, maybe it was Rockefeller or somebody, asked him how much money is enough, and he said a little bit more than I have right now, and that was the way I was living my life, just a little bit more sin, and then I'll find true happiness or joy or meaning. And clearly, the more I did that, the more soulless or the more dark my heart came. So eventually, somewhere along the way, I meet my lovely wife, Whitney, and in 2001, 2001, we got married. Sadly, as you already mentioned, I was jumping on a plane to go to our honeymoon, and that's when planes started crashing in 9/11, and the airports were shut down, and most of my wedding party was nowhere to be. Could not return. So 2002, 6 months into our marriage, she said that you have to change your life and your lifestyle, or I will leave you. This is, you know, 6 months into our brief marriage, if you will, and so we decided to start going to church to figure out how to live a different life. And we went to the church that I grew up in, and we went to other kind of different walks of life churches, and as I called hers, the rock and roll church. And I was looking for the pomp and circumstance and the incense and the genuflections and all this stuff that I knew, and it certainly wasn't where she was going. But nonetheless, her choice won, and we crawled into this church on our knees, broken, busted, both individually and collectively as a couple. And my dear friend, who I mentioned to you, and I'm in D.C. at the National Prayer Breakfast, he's here today, named Sung Cho, was the first person I met and saw his smile, and he embraced me and hasn't let go since. And the way I explain it is I follow him because he's following Christ.
Beautiful.
And I began to learn, understand a better way to live, a different way to live, a way to live selflessly for the Lord, you know, dedicating my life to him versus dedicating it to me and my selfish tendencies. So fast forward, you know, my wife goes from get out to come on in. And over the following year, we began a reconciliation process in our marriage. And I remember going to church, and week after week, we would just weep in our brokenness and in our restoration as God was reaching into our hearts and just restoring us and replacing all the idols that we've created with him. And it was a very tender moment, I remember, when her father came in from Florida and sat next to us in the church, worshiping God together, a moment that he prayed for 32 years for his daughter's life, came to realization in that particular moment. And, and you know, I have two wonderful children, and I pray for them the way this man prayed for us. And I look forward to having that moment when my kids look me in the eyes and say, I get it. I get it, and I want to follow you the way you're following him. And, that would be my prayer for certainly anyone with children and anyone on God's green earth.
I hear
that
you.
That may
say.
Have been long-winded, but hopefully you get the sense of this cataclysmic change that has occurred in my life that was brought upon by following the world's ways, searching for meaning, searching for hope, searching for a peace that transcends understanding, never finding it in the bar or a brothel, and finally finding it in a church and in a community of people that have genuinely loved me for who I am and whose I am. And it has been a joy and a turnaround. You know, he talks about restoring what the moths have eaten. That has occurred very loudly in my life. And one funny thing is some people will leave, I'm leaving out a lot of the juicy details here to make this a PG version, but a lot of people will come to me and say, wow, that's a fascinating story, and it's this Hollywood, you know, crash and burn story that that we can write a movie about. As I look at my two sweet little children, that would be the last thing I would hope for them. You know, I pray that they grow up in our Christ-like family and are able to avoid all the nonsense and the temptation that I had to endure to be brought to my knee. How much better would it be that they avoid that and find that relationship with Christ as early as possible, to enjoy his presence for as long as possible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And enjoy all of his influences and positive and being other oriented instead of sucking the life out of people and things. And then finding that there's only destruction at the end of that path. But I love that your story of redemption, and you've used that word, that I want people to hear that God fixes families. God fixes relationships. He wants to do that. That's the business that he is in, and he's the best one to do it. Right, Kevin?
My marriage is stronger than ever. It has been an amazing restoration and reconciliation. It has been a testimony to God's love, to God's power. And my wife and I are grateful for it each and every day. And I think it's because we went to hell and back. That certainly wasn't the case. But we went through the fire through a very difficult time. And it was only our brokenness and our humility, where we had nothing left but cling to Jesus, that was able to restore us. And you know, I think you can be in marriage and kind of do marriage 50 years in a row, but never have that love and sweetness that Jesus can provide to you.
That he wants us to have. He wants us to have that in marriage.
And he wants us to have. And you know, unfortunately or fortunately, we had to go through a very wicked trial that almost destroyed us in order to see that and get that and embrace that and desire that each and every day so that we don't have to go back there again.
That's right. But each of us has a story to tell. God knew all of this before we were born, and how wonderful that you're able to help others that perhaps see their relationship with their loved one as hopeless. You can provide them hope through Christ. This is Carla Dedessi here with Kevin Michaels, who is the president and co-founder of Cross Properties in Philadelphia, talking to him about his relationship, marriage, life, faith, and family. Kevin, let's talk about Whitney and her family. You said that her father had been praying for her for 32 years. So it sounds like she came from a family of faith, but somehow was rebelling.
Well, interestingly enough, I don't know if it's commonly said, but sometimes, you know, women marry their father. She married her father. So my testimony is very similar to her testimony, her father's testimony, excuse me. He had kind of a similar upbringing and probably a child of the 60s and the 70s and embraced that movement and I believe found Jesus in the Jesus movement, but also found all the drugs and the culture that went along with that era and sort of lived that lifestyle for a long time until, you know, God pulled that out of him, if you will, that refined him, the impurities, and has traveled the world with the likes of Billy Graham and Louis Palau and so forth, through crusades and sharing God's love throughout the world. And just because he lived through that experience, he was able to speak into his daughter's life, who was going through that same experience of the world provides this image of sweetness, this image, this golden calf that looks so attractive, but every time I walk up to it, it's elusive or it doesn't satisfy. And so he spoke into her life when she would cry out to her father, her earthly father, say, Dad, this isn't working. You know, I'm not being satisfied. And he was there to lovingly and unconditionally love her, to go through that process when she needed it. He didn't condemn her. He didn't
disown her like some dads might.
Yeah. Yeah.
He loved her through it
and said, he'll be ready when you're ready. It could be tonight, tomorrow, or 10 years from now. But, oh, by the way, still loves you despite you not loving him back.
Hmm.
And so when she was brought to her knees with me, you know, it was an incredible moment where she was able to reach back to her earthly father and say, "Get it," or "I want to get it. Tell me more. I'm ready." And what an excitement that brings in my mind when I look at my 10-year-old and my 8-year-old, and I look forward to that moment where I say, "Dad, I get it. Tell me more," or I want to get it. I want to follow him. Tell me how.
That's every one of our you know, biggest and only goals for our children, those of us who are raising our children in that Christian home.
Yeah.
Let's talk about 32 years of prayer. So we should not give up on prayer. Praying for that one child, praying for that son-in-law.
Really? Absolutely. What a testament of his faith. And, you know, I look at my children and I can feel like many times my love is conditional. If you do the right thing, I'm going to adore you. If you do the wrong thing, I'm going to have an issue with it. Or my love is conditional. And certainly God's working in my life to change that and to shape me to the father that he wants me to be. And he's obviously given us a great model. But her father in particular, to be able to love her through all of that, to be able to take those midnight calls and to say he loves you because he is love.
Mm-hmm.
And I love you because following him.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you about his love. And over, year after year, getting those calls and not breaking hope, not breaking his gaze on God, and believing in his promises and believing in that hope, I think, you know, was clearly deep in the heart of her father and was a great example and a model for me to consider as my children grow up and begin to learn about the world and its ways and in a better way.
Kevin, looking back at 9/11, when you were at that airport, do you think that that moment, God used it in your life to allow you to draw closer to him? Did you think about the brevity of life at all in that moment and think, gosh, is there more? Or at that point, were you still just full speed ahead?
No. It was, you know what it was? It was an awkward time, a really strange event, and really inconvenient for me and my wedding party.
Wow. So you were at that point where it was still just all about you. This is like really annoying.
Correct.
Which all of us are in that place.
That's about as raw and honest as I can get. I mean, the first time that anybody's asked me that question, I've asked myself that question, and I would say in that moment, if I look back who I was, it was more of an inconvenience and a tragedy, but certainly I didn't begin to think about how can such an atrocity occur? How can people commit such evil? And where is God in all of this? I don't think any of that entered into my mind.
Wow. I love your raw honesty. Okay, so let's talk about now you're following Jesus Christ. You have this best friend with whom you're down in D.C. actually at this moment. Who's speaking at the National Day of Prayer? Who's
Who
do they have speaking there? I'm asking you.
Do you even know?
Ben Carson's been before. Eric Metaxas has been before.
I was here when Ben Carson spoke. It was a big shot from NASCAR.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I did not attend. And quite frankly, I mean, there's, I don't know how many thousand people down here from every continent and country represented. And the reason I love it, as I've shared with my staff, I said sometimes it's very helpful to climb to the top of the tree and to look out.
Yes.
And in this case, I climbed to the top of this tree and I'm looking out and I'm seeing what God is doing in the lives of people throughout the world. I can get very myopic in our little business in Philadelphia and say this is the beginning and middle and end of God's sovereignty, you know, in my zip code 19063. And when I come here, I see people of all walks of life, all shapes, all sizes, all colors. And it's not a what denomination are you and do you believe in this or that. It is how do we love the world the way Jesus showed us.
Yes.
And for that, it's freeing, and it's also gives me a much broader picture of the sovereignty of God and what he's doing around the world with his 7 billion children.
I love it. Let's talk about who came alongside of you. Did you have men? So you're a businessman who's making tons of money, but you're going down the wrong path. I mean, I am politically incorrect here. I'm going to say you're going down the wrong path.
Yes.
You come to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You want to know who this person is. But are you able to connect with other businessmen that can show you what it is like to show Christ in the business world?
So I read a little bit on Wikipedia. It's very difficult to find out what, I'm going to answer your question indirectly and then directly. What exactly is the National Prayer Breakfast, National Day of Prayer, and sort of when it started and by whom? But I think it's been around for 50 or 60 years, and it's always attempted to be very loose, and nobody owns it and controls it, because when man starts to own and control things, it can be very distorted, and all of a sudden becomes a brand that can be marketed, and, you know, it reduces Jesus to, you know, a UPC code. And so, but somewhere in that, I believe there was an offshoot called the Christian Businessmen's Group, which was a vehicle for men in the business community to be able to get together and talk about how to walk out their faith in the United States in capitalism, where profit is the only thing that matters. And I guess I'd spin on words and say in the Christian Businessmen's Group, it was the prophet, Jesus, he's the one that matters. You know, obviously spelled differently. That's been on words there. But it was for the first time, it was a small group for me where I was able to get together with men and talk about life, not only in my home life, but in my business life. How do you make those tough decisions? How do you toe that line of integrity and still thrive? And how do you trust God that he's going to provide even when the world will tell me that this is the wrong decision, that the right decision is either more profits or profits in a distorted way for the sake of my glory, instead of trusting him, the man, the being that created planet Earth and all of its stars and universes and children, that he could actually find a way to work within the confines of business to profit myself and my family and my staff in the right way. And folks, like, as I shared with you already briefly, your father was a tremendous influence. He was one of the men that spoke into my life. He was there as I transitioned business from financial advisor to real estate. He was there when I transferred from San Francisco to Philadelphia. He was there when we had our first child, and he was there when I started my own company. And we did spend a fair amount of time of what I would call kind of Christianity 101, where he shared scripture with me. He shared the hope that he had. I, of course, met your mother and yourself and some of his other children, and saw that this is a man who was not just reading it and not living it, but reading it, loving it, living it. And the proof is in the pudding. You know, passed it down to the next generation, so that when he meets the Lord, the Lord will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Yes.
Well done, Roger, for loving it, living it, sharing it, not only with his children, but with men like me who wanted to soak it up. Tell me more. How do you do this? Why does God do that? And was able to speak into my life. And that was the first time I had what I would consider a mentor. In this case, it was called a Paul-Timothy relationship, where I was Timothy and your father was Paul.
Mm.
And since then, you know, certainly other men in that group, the dear friend that I'm at, the dear friend I'm with down here in D.C., Sung was the first man that I met when I walked into the church, and he just smiled and embraced me and hasn't let go, and I've continued to follow him. I'm also here with my friend Matt, who's been a great influence in the way he loves his wife and his five boy children.
Mm.
Carla, I replaced a lot of my friends who were taking me down a very different path, and now I'm locking arms with men that love the Lord, that want to follow him. I want to follow him not only on Sundays, but want to live it out each and every day in the work life, in their home life, and have placed that as the most important thing in their lives, instead of how much money do you have, how much money do you make, and profits over anything,
mm-hmm.
at any cost.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'll share with you that, you know, that my father is probably one of your biggest fans, and that you have said that he really influenced you and pushed you closer to Jesus Christ. But what's so interesting, I think, that my dad will tell you is that he gets re-energized and encouraged by discipling and walking alongside of you as well. So, I know that he just thanks God for you and your testimony and your family, you know, often. So let's talk about Cross Properties that you started that I believe God is blessing probably before, way above and beyond any of your expectations, Kevin, which is what Ephesians 3:20 tells us. It says that God will do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we can expect according to the powers, the Holy Spirit that is inside of us. So can you share a little bit, like, did you immediately have a vision for Cross Properties? And I know that you have opportunity to pray with employees or pray before, but for other Christian businessmen that are listening to you, what advice can you give to them about bringing Christ into the work?
Well,
because it might not be talking about it all the time. It just might be your, how you live it out loud.
Well, it started with 2010 when I started the company. The real estate market was in a nosedive, and I was working at a particular company that was going through tough times and had to start laying off people, and they started at the top and were working their way down. I was somewhere in the middle. So I had a little time to start thinking of, okay, before they catch me, where's my next move? And I started to assemble a team and started to look for deals in what I would call a side job, if you will, and I called the company Cross Properties. And there was a particular day in March 2010 that I made an offer to buy a property in my side job at 7 a.m. at a hotel in Philadelphia, and then I went at 9 a.m. to my 9-to-5 job, and at 5 p.m. that same day, they called me in and they fired me. So within one day, I made an offer on a $40-plus million deal, and it was accepted. And 8 hours later, I was fired from that company. So, you know, when you ask for a sign from God, be careful, because sometimes it gives you exactly what you want. And it was very clear in that day that my second chapter was over and my third chapter was about to begin. And that synchronicity, if we're paying attention, happens all the time. And in that particular day, it was very evident to me that God was on the move, and he was in this new adventure that I was about to go through. This was, my incredible wife here has seen me go from financial advisor to real estate at the bottom, then, you know, starting my own company, going from no kids, two kids, going from San Francisco to suburbs of Philadelphia. And she's, you know, stood by me through thick and thin, riding this bucking bronco. And you know, it certainly has kept us closer to each other and closer to the Lord, because it has been a ride. It has been a joy. It's what I say, it gets me going in the morning, but keeps me up at night. We have, as you mentioned already, we have fast forward, you know, within the 5 years, we purchased $250 million worth of real estate. I started with next to nothing. The beauty of that is I can't possibly take any of the credit.
Miracle. You know, I mean, I didn't even realize that your company was only 4 years old.
I can't possibly take credit. It's supernatural. The success that we've had is far beyond anything I hoped or imagined, and I know that exactly scriptural as coming out of my mouth. And exceedingly abundant kindness, and we have an equivalent amount of deals in the pipeline right now, which could essentially double our company in the next 12 months. Now, that's all the good news. The challenge is each and every day I need to show up and make sound decisions, ones that would honor the Lord, not only in my dealings with my business partners, but the rest of my staff, vendors that I interact with on a day-to-day basis, the political community that I interact with on a day-to-day basis, my investor base. How do I walk that out with integrity and forthrightness and kindness? One of the policies that my business partner and I say regularly is we're lovers, not fighters, meaning we're not interested in having huge egos and jamming our agendas down people's throats. We are interested in creating harmony to the greatest extent possible, and that's not always easy. But therein lies the challenge in the way I get to walk my faith out. And I do believe that God has blessed it. And Carla, it's only at times like this where I get climb to the top of that tree and I look back and, wow, what an incredible journey we've been on. You know, on a day-to-day basis, when I'm living it, it can be hard. And there's been plenty of sleepless nights, both for, you know, myself and my wife. And I've spoken to your father about this, who had his own business, who, again, was an inspiration in starting a business, which, you know, isn't a complete adventure in faith.
Yes. Would you want to embark on this adventure in faith holding anybody else's hands other than God's?
I tried that. I already tried that first phase of my life. And I would argue that I was holding the hand of the enemy those first 10 years in the world of financial advising. And that enemy, you know, told me that a little bit more is going to be better, a little bit more. And he continued to lie to me each and every day. And the only place that led me was into death, destruction, debauchery, and ultimately, thankfully, redeemed by falling to my knees and crying out, saying, God, you're there. I need you. There has to be a better way. One thing actually I didn't mention, Carlos, the benefit or the beauty of what I get to do every single day is a lot of what we do is we buy old buildings and we bring them back to life. We just finished up a project. We bought a 25-story office building in downtown Philadelphia that was built in the 1920s. It used to be Sun Oil's headquarters. Pugh's used to have their corporate offices on top. Mr. Pugh had his apartment and his safe where he stored all of his earthly treasures on the top of the building. And we're finishing right now. We bought an old seminary and we're converting that to residences on the mainline suburbs. That too was built in the 1920s as a first class hotel. And so there's this aspect of resurrection and restoration that I feel through my fingertips each and every day, physically, literally, through my work. Taking these old things and carving out the bad stuff, celebrating the good stuff, and bringing it back to life. That is such an expression of what God has done in my life, and I get to do it each and every day in real estate.
Kevin, I think on that note, we're going to end. Kevin Michaels, who is the co-founder of Cross Properties here in Philadelphia, thank you for sharing your heart with us this morning. If we want to check out Cross Properties, do we go to crossproperties.com?
A little shorter. Cross Prop.
Cross Prop. P as in Paul, R-O-P as in Paul, .com. God bless you and thank you for joining us.
God bless you, Carla. Thank you.
You can help the homeless in Philadelphia while furnishing your home. The proceeds from the Beehive Thrift Store on Rising Sun Avenue in Northeast Philly or Sunday Breakfast Thrift Store in Pendel, Bucks County, provides meals, shelter, and hope to homeless men, women, or children in the Philadelphia area. It only costs $1.95 to feed one person. This means that buying a sofa, a dining room set, household items, or clothing will help feed and house the homeless in the Philadelphia area. Please help Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission feed the homeless by shopping or donating gently used items today. To make your gift or learn about our locations, visit sundaybreakfast.org or text the word thanks to 41444. That's THANKS to 41444. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission. Provide a meal. Give hope. Change a life.
Your furry family members matter, too.
Hi, we're Gordon and Sue Kriebel, owners of Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a family-owned business located on Main Street in the Trap Shopping Center. It's a family experience at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, one you won't get at chain and grocery stores. You'll find a distinct difference at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a difference in quality and in our natural approach to your pet's care. You may not be aware of better options for your pets. So come in and discuss your pet's nutritional needs and health. Our knowledgeable hands-on staff will be happy to help you learn what's best. We've been your leaders in pioneering pet nutrition and part of our community since 2003. Come out and support our local family-owned business. We'd love to meet you and your pets.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
Still to be done. Carla DeDessi here at 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Your family matters. I'm so excited to have Commissioner Christian Leinbach with us today here in the great county of Berks. He is working with us to make Berks better. Commissioner Leinbach, thank you for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be able to join you, Carla.
I am so thankful that you have served tirelessly for the last 8 years here in Berks. Can you tell us a little bit about what you accomplished over these last 8 years?
Well, I think, first of all, it's important to note that I don't think anybody accomplishes anything entirely on their own, and politicians are notorious for taking credit. But there have been a lot of successes that our team has accomplished, and probably one of the most significant deals with the financial stability and, in fact, strength of Berks County. Obviously, over the last 7-plus years, we've gone through at least what was the greatest economic crisis in my lifetime. And during that time, Berks County had its bond rating increased twice. We have the second highest bond rating in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania among counties. We also have a record high fund balance. And at the same time, we've been able to cut costs in a lot of different areas. Just to mention two, one, we eliminated our youth detention center and moved to private sources, saving about $1.4 million a year.
Wow.
And very recently, we merged our public transit system, BARTA, with the Lancaster public transit system called Red Rose and created South Central Transportation Authority. And over the next 5 years, that'll save $2 million over 5 years for the citizens of Berks County.
That's significant.
That's important.
Yes. Commissioner Leinbach, tell us a little bit, because I believe this is probably common day for you, but as a commissioner, you have a huge responsibility. I feel like you're almost the governor of our county. But I don't think a lot of people know the responsibility that you carry on your shoulders. And I know that it's not only you, you have shared that you work with others. But tell us a bit about you. You help out with our prisons, our transportation system, our nursing homes.
Yeah, there's probably the number one question I get, and I can tell you commissioners across state and country are asked, what does a commissioner do?
Right.
And most people are shocked, but many of the state and federal programs are funneled down through county government, but people don't realize it. We have an Office of Aging. There are dollars from the federal and state government that come through for that department. Children and youth services, which I will tell you is one of the most difficult areas because it involves families, children in terrible circumstances. The county jail. Most people don't realize that the county jail and the county court system take the bulk, about $85 million out of $136 million of our property taxes go entirely to cover the cost of prison and our court system. Nursing home, the Berksheim, which last year provided $2 million to our general fund. In many other counties, nursing homes cost the taxpayers money. In Berks County, that's not been the case. And to prove the point, yesterday it was announced that Schuylkill County had to sell their nursing home because they were struggling.
Underfunded.
So, we act as executive. There's three commissioners in Berks County. And just under 2,400 employees. So it's a big operation.
2,400 employees that sit under you that you have to manage, make sure everything's working well. And I know that there's two other commissioners that are coming alongside of you, but you've been the commissioner, Commissioner Leinbach, that's been with us for the last 8 years. And congratulations, by the way. So thankful that you are running again. I watched your reelection speech. It's awesome. I recommend that everybody goes to ChristianLeinbach.com and checks out what Commissioner Leinbach wishes to do when he's reelected for the next 4 years.
Thank you.
Commissioner Leinbach, so what is a budget? What is your budget for managing all of this?
Our budget is just under $460 million a year.
$460 million with an M.
With an M, about almost a $500 million.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting, over the 8 years, that really hasn't moved. We've been able, in spite of inflation, to really hold that in check.
Thank you.
By making a lot of cost-saving decisions. And I would also add, if you do the math, we only collect about $136 million annually from local property tax. So the question is, where does all the other money come from? And that's what I was referencing earlier, that a lot of what we do are the implementation or execution of state and federal programs. And that's where the bulk of the rest of those dollars come from.
I never realized that. You know, I feel like I need to have you back on for another segment where maybe you're just taking question and answers from people.
I would love to do that. It's county government touches everybody's life every day. It's just that most people don't realize that they focus their attention on Harrisburg and they focus attention on Washington and they think that's really where things are happening. They don't realize that
locally,
what is impacting them each day is locally and it's
right
at the level of county government.
Right. Let me ask you this because a lot of people are asking me this, Commissioner Leinbach.
Sure.
You do not make laws, but you make ordinances, correct?
Yeah, they're similar.
Right. Talk to us about that. What's that mean?
We have to operate within the context of the laws, both state and federal laws. But we have the ability to put together, let's call them policies. And I'll give you an example. This past summer, in response to some pretty pro-union efforts in the city of Reading, there was an effort to declare that any construction, private or public, in the city of Reading would have to require a union-only project labor agreement. Two of the three commissioners, myself and Commissioner Scott, believed that that was un-American. We worked very diligently with a number of other organizations, and we crafted what we call an open contracting ordinance that basically says you cannot require anybody to hire union or to not hire union workers. And if the project involves any type of county money or support in any way, we will pull that support if it does.
I love it.
So we couldn't make project labor agreements illegal across the board, but where we're involved, we were able to say we won't be involved financially if you put something in place that says you may not hire union workers or you have to hire union workers. That's just one example. And quite frankly, it comes from my philosophy. I'm not willing to accept, well, that's just the way it is. I'm always looking for other ways to make sure that our people are protected and that the voice of common sense is heard.
I want you to talk a little bit about your Slavic grandparents and why they instilled in you this sense of liberty, individual liberties, and self-government that you're passionate about for Berks County.
Absolutely. My middle name is Jancic. A lot of people see the Y and say, what's that stand for? And I say Jancic, and that doesn't help them a whole lot either. But that is actually, it used to be J-A-N-C-I-K, and it means Johnson, the son of John. And my grandparents immigrated around 1900. My grandmother died when I was 3. My grandfather died when I was 13 years old in 1972. And in 1979, two of my aunts took me to visit Czechoslovakia and Hungary, where we have still today relatives. And I spent 5 weeks there. And most people may forget, in 1979, it was hardcore communism. Both countries were controlled by the Soviet Union. And I shared that one evening I was with some young people talking to them through my aunt, who was fluent in the Slovak language. And they wanted to know what it was like to live in America. So I showed them pictures and we talked. And at one point, they said to me, we don't understand what you mean when you talk about freedom. What exactly is freedom? And it's amazing, Carla, but I could not explain it to them. And it struck me then that I realized freedom is a lot like air. How do you explain air to somebody that never breathed it? And these young people were all born after World War II. All they knew was communism. All they knew was somebody telling them this is what you do, this you can't do this, and so forth. When I came back to this country, I kissed the ground in New York when we landed, and I promised God and I promised myself I would do whatever I possibly could to defend freedom in our country so that my children and my grandchildren never grew up in a country where they didn't understand what freedom was all about. And that might sound trite, but that has driven me and motivated me ever since. I've been involved in government, involved in politics, and that is my overriding goal. I want to protect the freedom that we have, the freedom of religion, the freedom to stand up for what we believe in, to stand up against what we think is wrong. Freedom is fundamental. It's fundamental to our liberty. It's fundamental to our faith. And I am concerned that today that freedom has been under assault.
Commissioner Leinbach, you have done so much in the last 8 years, and I thank you for that. But I know that you are not a person to sit on your laurels. What do you want to do with the next 4 years here in Berks County?
Well, there's two main areas that I am focusing on. The first area is that of criminal justice reform, and I don't have time to go into it in great detail. There is some detail in this, in my speech that I shared that people can check on my website at ChristianLeinbach.com. But here's the core essence. Number one, the United States incarcerates or imprisons more people than any other nation on the face of the earth, and it really isn't close. And we incarcerate a lot of people for clearly nonviolent crimes. I've highlighted that in Berks County within the last year, we've had a lady by the name of Eileen Bonino sentenced to our county jail solely for truancy. She died in our jail. That's tragic, but she should have never been there in the first place. We've looked at our inmate population, and at any given time, you may find one or two people in our county jail exclusively for parking tickets. And this past fall, we had a lady who was elderly, had Alzheimer's, was in a local nursing home, slapped one of the staffers. The nursing home called the police. The police arrested her and had her placed in the county jail. To me, that isn't what criminal justice is all about. I don't feel any safer, and I doubt that the public feels any safer knowing that a truant mom, that somebody with parking tickets, and another person with Alzheimer's who slapped a staffer, that they're in prison in our county and they feel safer. That's one area. I think we need to make some fundamental changes in the way we look at criminal justice, and it's breaking the bank financially.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I believe that we have to focus on growing jobs. And there are a lot of ways to do it, but one of the key things that I point out, government isn't the creator of jobs. When we create a government job, somebody in the private sector has to pay for it. The private sector creates the jobs. However, government can be either a help or a barrier to job creation, and too often we're a barrier. Again, there are several things that I've cited. I'm going to just talk about one. I began a program called the Joint Express Approval Program. We call it JEAP, and it's the idea of bringing all of the players in a possible economic development project from the municipality, from DEP, from the local utility companies, from the county, sit down, talk about the project, make sure that the project is a good project for a community, and then communicate. Find out who needs to do what by when in order for this project to be to move forward in a timely fashion. We have one example a couple of years ago where I did this with a plant that existed in Mexico. Roughly 300 employees in Mexico. They were moving it to the United States, and it was between us and Texas. And I sat down, we went through this process, and we literally took the project from submittal to a building permit in right around 30 days. And today, in Ahnelani Township, we have a facility that has approximately 300 jobs. When they opened, the CEO announced that if that project hadn't gone forward, if it had happened in another part of the country, that it's very likely that within 5 years, that plant, with another 250 to 300 jobs already in place, would have likely closed, and they would have moved everything to the new location. Instead, they're all here in Berks County, and we need more common-sense approaches to work with small and large businesses to grow our job base, because the job base is what provides the financial strength that gives us the tax base.
Yes.
And gives us a quality of life that we want to see in a community.
Yes, we want to afford to be able to go to the movies and open new restaurants and taste different foods. And unless we have a robust economy, we can't enjoy that.
That's exactly right. And growing the economy is the best way to help the needs, the legitimate needs of funding government. You don't fund government by just continuing to raise the percentage of taxes people and businesses have to pay to fund it.
Right. I love that you just said that. So the way that we increase funding and we create jobs is privately, private sector is what I'm hearing you say.
That is correct.
Right. So this is Carla Desi here with Your Family Matters, 1180 WFYL here in Philly. But we also reach Berks, Bucks, Montgomery County, and even Lancaster County. Christian Linebach, our commissioner here in Berks County, thank you for joining us today. Tell us a little bit about tomorrow. What is happening with the Reading Royals? What are you doing with them, and how can we get involved?
Well, again, if you go to the website, you find out more about it. But tomorrow, which is Saturday, March the 7th, I will be participating in a game, actually not as a hockey player, but as a supporter. It's a Boy Scout night, and it begins at 7:05. $5 from every ticket you purchase through our website goes to the campaign. And it's a great opportunity to watch a local minor league hockey team that I might add has been on a big winning streak lately and likely should make it to the playoff. But again, anyone that wants to come to that, we'd love to have you come out. You not only support me, but support our local Boy Scouts. And you can get information and tickets by going to christianlinebach.com.
And I want to encourage everyone to go to christianlinebach.com. You will click on events, and there you will see the splash page, as we're calling it. But it's a link. We encourage you to go to that link. That is how Christian, Commissioner Linebach, will get your support. You must purchase the tickets through that link. And then we all get to sit together, and we all get to have fun and meet each other and not only support the Reading Royals, but also support our commissioner, Christian Linebach. So thank you so much.
And I promise I won't give any political speeches at the game.
Okay. I look at this. I'm seeing people already like clicking and starting to like get their tickets. And it's not too late. You can get tickets up until 5 minutes before the game begins.
That is correct. Absolutely. We'd love to have everyone there.
And you know, Christian, I also want to encourage people to go onto your website, and if they feel that they want to get involved somehow, they can donate online, they can volunteer. I'm sure that you need help. They can probably even host an event at their house, a meet and greet. Would you be happy to come to their house and meet and greet and meet their friends?
I'd love to. And you're exactly right. We need volunteers. We need people to help us with fundraising. And really to get the word out that there is a common sense approach to government. And the idea of our theme, Making Berks Better,
yes,
is the realization that none of us included, we're never good enough. We need to always striving to learn more, read another book, take another course, continue to grow in our knowledge, because that helps us be more of a benefit to the people around us, whether it's our family, our people that we go to church with, or government. And Berks County is a great place to live, but it can even be better if we continue to do the right things to strengthen it.
Absolutely. I happen to be a Berksonian, and I think that Berks County, we're going to get it to the place where all the other counties in Pennsylvania are saying, what are you doing? Because we want some more of that. And I know that you're on board with that.
Thank you. You can count on it.
Take care. God bless.
Thank you. We'll see you.
You can help the homeless in Philadelphia while furnishing your home. The proceeds from the Beehive Thrift Store on Rising Sun Avenue in Northeast Philly or Sunday Breakfast Thrift Store in Pendel, Bucks County provides meals, shelter, and hope to homeless men, women, or children in the Philadelphia area. It only costs $1.95 to feed one person. This means that buying a sofa, a dining room set, household items, or clothing will help feed and house the homeless in the Philadelphia area. Please help Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission feed the homeless by shopping or donating gently used items today. To make your gift or learn about our locations, visit sundaybreakfast.org or text the word thanks to 41444. That's THANKS to 41444. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission. Provide a meal, give hope, change a life.
Your furry family members matter, too.
Hi, we're Gordon and Sue Kriebel, owners of Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a family-owned business located on Main Street in the Trap Shopping Center. It's a family experience at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, one you won't get at chain and grocery stores. You'll find a distinct difference at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a difference in quality and in our natural approach to your pet's care. You may not be aware of better options for your pets. So come in and discuss your pet's nutritional needs and health. Our knowledgeable hands-on staff will be happy to help you learn what's best. We've been your leaders in pioneering pet nutrition and part of our community since 2003. Come out and support our local family-owned business. We'd love to meet you and your pets.